Today on Maine Calling, behind the scenes at Maine Public. It's been quite a year here at Maine Public. It started with a major expansion of our service with the addition of 7 new radio transmitters. Then summer came and Congress defunded the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which accounted for 12% of Maine Public's budget. We debuted new programming on television, including high school field hockey championships, and expanded podcasting. Meanwhile, work continues on Maine Public's new Portland facility. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, two of the top leaders here at Maine Public, CEO Rick Schneider and Programming Director Susan Tran, join us to answer your questions about your public radio and television service. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today, Maine Public's CEO and our programming director are here to give us an update and to answer your questions about your public radio and television service. Rick Schneider is president and CEO of Maine Public, and Susan Tran is chief programming officer for Maine Public. We invite you to join the conversation. What questions do you have about how it all works? What's your favorite program? Do you have suggestions? Send us a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, post a comment on social media, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. And a reminder, the Maine Calling phone number is different than the one for the fundraising drive. The Maine Calling number is 1-800-399-3566. Rick and Susan, thank you so much for joining us, especially on this busy day. And I'm going to start, Rick, with a question that I get everywhere I go. People are worried about Maine Public. I can't tell you how many times someone who has heard about the federal cuts asks me with sincere concern, how are you? What's the future? And I'm sure you get that question too. What's your answer?
Well, thanks, Jen. Of course, we all do, and I know Susan will say so as well. And all of us associated with Maine Public, when we're out in the community or friends or family in general, the cuts to federal funding for public broadcasting got a lot of attention over the summer. They happened in July, and since then, people have wondered about that. And that is the first thing people ask me: how's Maine Public doing? And there's really two sides of that story that I always want to emphasize, is that, well, of course, it is a challenge, and we are working on that challenge. And the second, though, is that we are not going away. And, you know, in fundraising mode, sometimes we're using the term defunded but not defeated. I would say, you know, again, there was a lot of concern, especially when the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced that it would wind down. And there are many acronyms in public broadcasting. There's CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, as well as PBS, which is television, and NPR, which is radio, and all kinds of other things. The main thing to understand is that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's purpose was to take federal funding. They would get an appropriation from Congress and distribute it to local stations around the country through a community service grant. So CPB's main purpose was to distribute the federal funding across the country. With no federal funding, there's no reason for CPB there's no money for them to distribute. So that is why they announced that they are shutting down. They unfortunately had to lay off most of their staff effective September 30th, including many good friends of mine. And then there's a skeleton staff, a small staff there to wind down contractual obligations and to shut down CPB in January. But what I stress is that, and people were very upset about that announcement, CPB is going away. Does that mean that public broadcasting is going away? What I stress is that CPB is winding down, but PBS is not going anywhere, NPR is not going anywhere, and most certainly Maine Public is not going anywhere because of local support here in Maine.
Yeah, and Rick, you know, you've said that with me in the room, with others in the room, that we are not going anywhere, but that is not the case for every public broadcaster across the country, correct? There are other public broadcasting radio stations and TV stations that are really, truly worried about their existence in the future, correct?
Sure. The impact of the cuts in federal funding vary widely depending on where you are in the country and what market and what kind of organization you have. We have several advantages here in Maine. First of all, we're a very good market, a very good area and demographics for public media. We tend to skew a little older. That helps us on the television side. But certainly, you know, we are popular here in Maine. One thing that is special about Maine Public is that we are what's called a community licensee. We are a nonprofit reliant on community support. I report to a volunteer board of community leaders, a board of trustees. We are not a university station. We are not a state agency. Some state networks around the country are agencies of the state where the employees are all state employees and the person in my job reports to a governor or a governor-appointed commission. We are our own nonprofit, and that is why we have such strong community support, I would say. But there are places where the federal funding for a station makes up 30, 40, 50% of their budget. In our case, it was 12%. That is serious. That's a big hole to fill, but it is not as existential as some other places. And you often hear Alaska cited. There are small rural communities in Alaska that are served very well by a very locally oriented station, but they have no fundraising capacity. Many rural stations across the country just don't have the fundraising capacity to do it. Here in Maine, we're fortunate that we're serving very rural areas where there is not a lot of population and capacity, but we're also serving populated areas where, frankly, there is philanthropic capacity on the coasts and so on. So we're well situated in Maine, but many stations have a much harder time.
Susan, I think it's worth go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think it's worth noting that being a statewide network, a statewide joint licensee, so we are both radio and television for the entire state of Maine, those are both big advantages. And there are many markets across the country who are scrambling to figure out should we merge with our local, you know, PBS station? Should we bring more station groups together to try and, you know, get our costs down? Well, we did that work here in Maine back in the early 90s. And you know, at the time it was challenging to get through, and, you know, as mergers are, but it's really positioned us incredibly well to be ready for a storm like this.
Susan, for people who don't know what a programming director does, you fill up the schedule. You fill up 4 TV channels and 2 radio channels and some other things as well. And I'm just wondering how the cuts to CPB affect what is available to you as you try to figure out the next year, the next couple of years for our schedule.
Yeah, and that is definitely a question mark right now because, you know, so in my job, I sort of have 2 big roles. One is to oversee programming, the other is to oversee non-news production. So the stuff that we make locally and of course the stuff that we acquire nationally. And we are seeing a lot of question. For example, a very public example of this was that the American Experience, which is a long-running PBS program that's produced out of GBH in Boston, they're taking a break this year. So they're not producing anything new in 2026. They'll be doing some rebroadcasts and things. And they're just not sure. They're not sure if they're going to be able to continue or not. They're really in kind of a figuring out kind of stage. And I think that that's happening, you know, in big cases and small cases, and a lot of the different producers that we work with for both radio and television. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. The last time that we went through something vaguely similar was at the after the first 6 months of the pandemic, we lost a lot of shows nationally that just shut down production because of funding and because of like the change in culture and all sorts of things. And things have been pretty stable since then. So it'll be interesting to see what this new, you know, revelation, whatever brings.
Right. So as far as you know, as far as the big sort of marquee programs on public television, public radio, the only one you've heard about so far is American Experience pausing production.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if I may, you know, what this really all represents is fewer financial resources going into the public media ecosystem for programming. And when I say that Maine Public has, you know, we have been better positioned so far to be able to navigate this because we are not too big and we are not too small. But it is, you know, it is certainly a challenge for us locally, and it is a challenge for the system nationally about how much money in some form goes into national programming. Biggest source of resources, of course, is viewer support, listener support. NPR is having to make strategic decisions about where it focuses its programming. PBS, both PBS and NPR have made clear they are committed to providing a robust schedule, a robust service, but there are things that might change. For example, there might be more repeats. And in the case of American Experience, Susan, you can clarify if I misspeak, but as I understand it, American Experience is taking a pause and evaluating the future. It's not saying that
Correct.
It is totally going
Correct.
Away.
Yeah.
And by the way, they just did a two-part series on Kissinger that was much anticipated, and I think that may be the last new episode for a while, but they're doing sort of a greatest hits, and some of the most popular American experiences will be in the schedule, and so for many people, that will still be the first time they've seen them. But there are strategic decisions going on at the national level about where to focus resources. And here, of course, our biggest expenses have to do with programming. We pay fees to PBS and NPR for their programs. Susan has an acquisition budget where she deals with other program suppliers like the BBC and American Public Television and other distributors, and the programs we produce ourselves, including Maine Calling, but the work of our Maine public journalists and the things that we do on television. All of that, we take your membership dollars and turn them into programming, I often say. But it's all about how much resources are going into programming at the national level and at the local level.
Yeah, and Susan, as far as local programming, right now, no plans to change anything, not to take away anybody's favorite program.
No. As a matter of fact, we've really been trying hard to protect and even double down on what we're offering locally. And this is something that started before all of the rescission stuff came up. It was in our strategic plan that we wanted to be doing more programming about Maine and reflecting, you know, the people that we serve. And so we have a lot of projects underway, big and small. You know, just a small project this weekend, for the first time ever, we covered the Maine State, Maine High School field hockey championship games. That was really a fun day of great athletics. That was really great. We've got a new music program that's going to be starting in January, showcasing a lot of Maine musicians. We're filming Borealis season 3. Getting ready to work on High School Quiz Show Maine for the new year. All sorts of, and some fun collaborations too. We're collaborating with the Portland Symphony Orchestra to bring Magic of Christmas back to Maine viewers again this holiday season. And just last week, we premiered the first episode of several of this program, Learning from Maine. And it's kind of a collection of small stories of innovative and exciting things happening at different high schools around the state. So lots of stuff on the list. I could probably go on for an hour about all of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have more questions for both of you. I want to ask you about an update on the future Portland studios, which I know where work is happening. I want to ask you, Susan, about a big Ken Burns project that's going to air next week, yeah. But we do need to go to a break. So I have to save those questions. If you have a question for Susan Tran and Rick Schneider, our phone number 1-800-399-3566, or you can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. We will be right back.
Maine Calling, a live daily program that you have come to depend on. Hi, I'm Keith Shortall, senior editor here at Maine Public, and I'm here with our production manager, Nick Woodward.
Hello.
Taking a few minutes out of the program here to remind you of how important this program is to you. I know that there are some of you listening who might say, well, I wrote in, but I don't think it matters. I don't think anyone's listening. Or I called and I said, oh, I like that program, or why don't you move it? We do actually
Absolutely.
Pay attention.
Oh,
I can tell you, and especially, you know, and on the news side, if we have a comment about a story, we're very sensitive and very mm-hmm. quick to take note, because it makes us better. It reminds us that you are listening, you do care, and we can always do better, and you help us do that. You can also help us by supporting the programming, and this is your opportunity to do that by calling 1-800-866-1475, or you can go online at mainepublic.org.
Yeah, we're going back to more Maine Calling in just a couple of minutes, but they are taking the break, so you have your chance to be part of this conversation by making the conversation possible. And that's one of the things public radio does so much. It connects us to issues, and it gives us a chance to talk about them together. And so we are going back to more Maine Calling, and you can call in your questions there about programming or just the health of Maine Public. So here's a phone number we want you to call right now, though. 1-800-866-1475. That's 1-800-866-1475. Different from the Maine Calling number. Just be aware of that. You can also go to mainepublic.org if you like to make your gift there. And your gift is so important. As you've been hearing Rick and Susan and Jen talk about kind of how we got to today. And in the past, there was, you know, there was more federal funding. That's gone right now. It's mainly from you, and you have built this incredibly vibrant public radio station, and we want to keep it going into the future. You can do it. You can be part of it. Call 1-800-866-1475.
And from the moment that announcement came out, I know that there was a lot of hand-wringing, but really around here, it was just full steam ahead.
Exactly.
What are we going to do next? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to do it better? How are we going to do it bigger? Because it's really always been about serving our audience. Mm-hmm. We know that our audience is loyal. We know that our audience is supportive. And so we have, I believe we've tried to shepherd our programming to them and to serve them, and that continues regardless of what the funding mm-hmm. mix is. But you're a big part of that funding mix more than ever. 1-800-866-1475.
And as Rick and Susan have mentioned, just there's something special about Maine Public Radio here in the state of Maine. It's just, I don't know, it just feels different. It's been with us for so long, and Maine Public Television. Many of us grew up as, you know, PBS kids with the Electric Company and things like that. Well, this service has been around for years, and whether it was many years ago or just moments ago, those times have been made possible through your support. That's why we're asking you to make the next moment possible. Call 1-800-866-1475.
I can remember watching the Lear News Hour, it was back in the 70s, mm-hmm. I think it was. And anyway, we're still here.
Yes.
We will continue to be here, and it's all because of you and your support. Call now, 1-800-866-1475, or go online to mainepublic.org, and thank you.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks, my guest today, President and CEO of Maine Public, Rick Schneider, and Chief Programming Officer, Susan Tran. Which programs do you try not to miss? What would you like to see or hear more of in the future? You can send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on our Facebook page or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Before we get to the calls and emails from the audience, I want to just ask you all those questions that I mentioned before the break. And Rick, I'll start with you. I think a lot of people know that we in the future will be moving out of we have several studios. We have studios in Bangor and in Lewiston and in Augusta. The Portland studios will move next year. How is the project going?
That project is going terrifically. First of all, it's important to understand that in Portland, we are housed in temporary office space that was rented a number of years ago. And the current iteration of that was set up, I think, 2010, 2012, that era, in the wake of the recession to be cost effective. But they were never built as broadcast studios. These are offices that have broadcast equipment in them, and it is also small. So our organization, I've been here 4 years, long before I arrived. The board of directors and the board of trustees and the organization has sought to move out of the Marginal Way facility and have a purpose-built state-of-the-art facility in Portland. And for a while, we were going to build a new building, but then things changed, and we had the opportunity to acquire 320 Cumberland Avenue, which is the former home of the Portland Public Market. We now own that building. We are doing the internal construction and renovation to make it a broadcast center, and that will be ready essentially next May, June is the target. But it will be a wonderful facility, and really there are three priorities for that facility. Most importantly, it's about modern broadcast studios for Maine Calling, for Maine Public Radio, for Maine Public Classical. And it'll improve our production capacity for all our programming statewide. This is not just a Portland thing. This improves the production capacity for Maine Public. So modern broadcast studios are one thing, but it also provides a better work experience for our staff. The Marginal Way facilities are just incredibly cramped. Today, this is a hotbed of activity between Pledge and everything that's going on in Marginal Way today. There's just no place really to do any good work. Collaborative workspace in the new facility is a priority. And the third element is that the board wanted a high visibility place for community awareness and community engagement. And the former Portland Public Market building is certainly that. We are going to be in downtown Portland. We're going to be an important part of that neighborhood and of downtown. And we're going to have a place where people can come together in many ways. We'll have a venue, a room in that building that can seat over 200 that I envision for musical performances, for speeches and lectures, for screenings and community meetings. I think we're going to be a hub of activity in downtown Portland. And that platform, that venue will be another platform for our content and engaging with the community. And last point on that, Jen, I would say is that the acquisition and the construction of that building was entirely paid for through the success of our capital campaign. Private donors who wanted to help Maine Public get a new home in Portland, and the elimination of federal funding has nothing to do or does not jeopardize or threaten that building. There was no government funding in that building. It was all the private capital campaign that made it happen.
And this fundraiser that's going on right now has nothing to do with the building either, right, Rick?
You know, Pledge Drive is really about programming. It's about annual support. So yes, you're correct. We do our own fundraising for the capital campaign. I'm happy to talk to anybody at any time about it, but that's not what we use Pledge Drives for. Pledge Drive is about programming and making Maine Public continue on an annual basis.
All right. And Sue Tran, July 4th, 2026 is our nation's semi-quincentennial. I think I said that
correctly.
Good job.
Yeah, you did.
And I know that PBS is all in, and sort of the big kahuna of this year is about to launch. Tell us about next week.
That's right. So on Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, we'll see part one of Ken Burns' epic new film, The American Revolution. It is 12 hours. So we'll roll it out in 2-hour segments over 6 consecutive nights. Truly, though, if it is, you know, I understand it can be a lot to mark your calendar off for 6 full nights of TV. So it will be available to watch online, you know, at any point, particularly on Passport. It'll be available, but it'll even be on the free video on demand site for several weeks or months to come. So it's a really exciting film. It's his biggest work yet. I've seen a few previews of it, and it really is. It's just it's it's an instant Ken Burns classic for sure. For those of you who kind of fell in love with Ken Burns with the Civil War, well, this goes even further and even deeper than that classic film. One of my favorite facts that I learned about it was that it took his team 8 years to make this film, which is the length of the American Revolution. So it's kind of a nice correlation there.
And Jen, if I, yeah. Before coming to Maine Public, I worked at WETA in the Washington, D.C. market, which is the producing station, the production partner for Ken and his work. So I got to know Ken and work with Ken during my time there. I was there for the Roosevelts, if you remember that, and for the Vietnam War. And Ken has several partners in his little empire that produce all these projects and has a long pipeline of content. So back when I was working there, the American Revolution was a distant idea in the pipeline. It was something that was in the future, but we knew it was coming. I remember the American Buffalo was also in that pipeline, and that aired a year or two ago. But as we were talking about the American Revolution as a future project for Ken, it was always, well, you know, there's not a lot of archival video of the revolution now, or photographs. How is Ken and the team going to do that? So I'm very excited to see this project come to fruition. And I know, just like his original, you know, Brooklyn Bridge and Civil War, and the war, the Vietnam War, all the major programs he's done over the year, I know this will be, as Susan says, a Ken Burns classic.
Yeah, really good point. They had invented photography when the Civil War was happening. We're going to go to Ellery calling from Waterville. Hi, Ellery. Go ahead.
Yes, and thank you so much for the incredible work you folks do there. Some of the stations I listen to part-time, they seem to overcome common sense by shouting louder. So there's a question in my mind about balance. And I do have a quick example that I'd like to cite, if I may, about, you know, right and left versus pro and con versus how does the Maine Public decide on choosing? And the quick example I'd like to cite, environmental. If there are 99 scientists saying it's genuine and one scientist saying it's a hoax, is it really required that because there are two sides that both sides must get like 50% of the airtime?
So,
good question. Rick, go ahead.
Well, I would say, first of all, that what we care about in public media and at Maine Public, and I know our partners at NPR and PBS as well, you know, it's really about fact-based, honest journalism. We're trying to focus on the facts. I tend to personally try not to use the word unbiased because we all have a bias in some form, but our bias is about the facts. And so Ellery's example, you know, we do climate coverage, but it is, I would say that it is not that we give, you know, if you think 99% say one thing and 1% you have to give equal time. I don't even think about it in those terms. I think our news department has a climate desk that is devoted to climate coverage. And by the way, not just doom and gloom of what climate change might happen, but how communities in Maine are dealing and solutions and a lot of upbeat stories, frankly. We have launched a climate newsletter in the past year, Planet Earth. So, you know, we're less focused about giving equal sides to various positions as we are reporting what we understand to be facts and devoted to fact-based journalism. And, you know, again, Ellery mentioned 99%, and it's probably referring to climate, but all kinds of issues. You know, we're trying to be common sense about it. We are not. I reject the characterization that we are right or left, or that, you know, there is one network over here on the right and public broadcasting is over here on the left. I firmly believe that our coverage in public broadcasting is fact-based and centrist, and there are networks out there that are opinion-based, and that's fine. They're popular. They have their own markets. We're committed to the facts, and that's how we approach it.
Susan, anything to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, you may have heard in the pledge break that we had, you know, about listener feedback and viewer feedback. And I will tell you, it's true. I read our audience services report every single week. I read every single line. And to this day, we get folks who say, you're too far right. We get folks who say, you're too far left. So I think, like, to me, that says, okay, we're somewhere in the middle. We're doing okay, sort of right down the line. But as Rick said, yes, it's fact-based journalism, and that's really what our focus is.
And at WETA, I worked with what is now the PBS NewsHour, but I got to know Jim Lehrer pretty well, and Jim would say there are multiple sides to a story, and he also, you know, if both sides are mad at you, you're doing something right. So,
Ellery, thank you so much for calling in. Let's see, we'll go to Louise Laura, who's calling from Portland. Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I didn't know I'd be on the air. I thought there was a filing that PBS filed a suit and NPR what Trump is doing.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Do you know, Rick? Yeah.
Oh, I'm very familiar with this story, and it is frankly just a very complicated story to explain, and I won't get into all the details, but there are so many acronyms in public media, so people get confused about what's what. Our caller just referenced PBS. Actually, PBS is the one organization that's not part of this lawsuit. This is about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and NPR, which is the radio side of public broadcasting. PBS is television, of course. So as a result of all this, NPR had to sue CPB, having to do with an infrastructure grant, a grant that has to do with public radio management. And I won't get into the details other than to say that NPR considers this a First Amendment issue, that CPB, in their mind, did not award this grant to NPR because of the executive order of the administration. And if we let that action stand, it is a challenge to First Amendment rights of NPR. That is their position. I am not in a position to be involved in that lawsuit at all or to even have much of an opinion. I do think it is sad that it appears in the public mind that NPR and CPB are at odds, but it really all has to do with NPR taking what they consider an action in defense of First Amendment rights against the president's executive order. CPB, again, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is in the process of winding down, they've done so much good for this country. We talked about Ken Burns earlier, you know, all the things they did to get Ken Burns going, all the support they've provided to local stations, all the things they've done for journalism. CPB has done so much good in this country. It's a shame to see them go away. And the lawsuit is an incredibly sort of arcane, esoteric issue that is impossible to explain to a viewer or even to me.
Louise Laura, thanks for your question. And I'm going to ask a little follow-up. I have less than a minute, Rick, but there are people who have seen other things that have happened in the federal government where funding has been pulled away and then returns. And we are not operating, though, with the assumption that funding will return, correct?
So it's an interesting question, because what happened to public broadcasting is actually unusual in the sense that it was a rescission. We learned all about, we had a civics lesson this summer as to what rescission means, clawing back money that had already been appropriated. So it put many members of Congress on both sides of the aisle in the position of having to vote against something, public broadcasting, that earlier that year they had just voted to approve. I get a lot of people that say, well, if politics change in 2 years for a midterm or in 3 years when there's a new administration, does that mean federal funding will be returned? We certainly are still at the national level. Our colleagues are still making the case, even in FY26, because, again, we have had broad bipartisan support of federal funding on both sides of the aisle. It's a mistake to think this is just a partisan issue. This happened to be a priority of the administration to get this rescission bill through. There is a chance that there is an argument to be made to restore it in FY26. And as I always point out, all four, we have good supporters in Congress from the state of Maine, including the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee and a member of the House Appropriations Committee. They are our friends and champions and are doing what they can. It's a possibility that federal funding might return in the future, but I am not banking on it, frankly, because the administration has made it such a priority. So we shall see.
What are your questions for our CEO and programming director? Call us at 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
1-800-866-1475. Now, that's the number. If you would like to support conversations like this that you have on Maine Calling each and every weekday, these live hour-long conversations, it's just one of the things you make possible with your gift of support to Maine Public. So if you appreciate the service, want to continue these conversations, call 1-800-866-1475. Hello, I am Nick Woodward, TV producer here at Maine Public, joined by Keith Shortall, senior editor. Keith, Rick and Susan talking a lot about the importance of news and editorial and again,
yeah.
But public broadcasting.
The mission of this program, and I think of Maine Public in general, is to create a conversation and to talk to, as you know, newsmakers, scholars, writers, the managers of Maine Public, and to include as a guest in that forum, you, the mm-hmm. listener, to bring you in, and you're hearing questions for Rick and Susan about, well, what does this mean? What happened in Washington? What does that mean for you? Monday, I guess it is now, I spoke with Colin Woodard, who's an author and historian, about the cultural differences in regions around the U.S. that he believes have contributed to the political divide that's part of the conversation we're having today. Well, you who are listening and who are supporting Maine Public are a part of that conversation, literally, and you're hearing it now. Help become you can also weigh in by supporting the program, mm-hmm. and that's the opportunity that you have right now. 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, also at mainpublic.org. A couple reminders. First of all, we are going back to Maine Calling in just under 2 minutes, I believe. So that gives you plenty of time to go to it, knowing that you are helping to tell these conversations. That's by calling 1-800-866-1475. Also, a reminder that today we have the Prague trip giveaway going on, where every gift, when you donate to Maine Public today, you will be automatically entered to win a trip to Prague, courtesy of our friends at Rhodes Scholar. A lot of details for that, go to mainpublic.org to learn more about that, including how to enter without giving. But you want to give because you want to make sure that these conversations continue. You can do it. Call 1-800-866-1475.
And if you do get to Prague, you can listen to Czech Radio, which is their public radio. And by the way, to fund that is mm-hmm. a mandatory fee for each household. So they
okay.
But that's not the way that we do it here.
No.
The way we do it is we stand here and we talk to you and we ask you to support us. 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, you count on the trusted fact-based news you hear on Maine Public Radio. Now, this service counts on you too, now more than ever. And this is about programming. Maine Public may be defunded, but with your help, we will not be defeated. So if you believe in the service, you want to see it continue to remain healthy and vibrant and going on into the future, you can do it. Call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainpublic.org.
In life and in journalism, it comes down to one question, which is, who do you trust?
Mm-hmm.
And trust is earned over time. I've been here for 35. This is my 35th year. You've been here a long time, Nick. We don't take that trust for granted.
No.
We try to earn it every day. And it's more and more important in the modern era here for people who are being mindful of where their news is coming from. Thank you for your support. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. Thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Today we're speaking with our CEO, Rick Schneider, and our programming director, Susan Tran. There is time for you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That is different than the number Keith and Nick just gave you. Our number, 1-800-399-3566. And if you're very quick, you can get an email in, a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org. I'm going to read through a few of the emails that have come through. And, you know, this represents different perspectives. One from Gregory, who says that he's a former advocate, supporter, and volunteer. A few years ago, donated his Subaru to Maine Public. But he says that he believes that National Public Radio, he believes that my program, Maine Calling, has become biased. He says, we need news we can trust. NPR does not report the news. They distort the news. So I'm sorry to hear you feel that way, Gregory. Nancy sends an email that says, I wonder if Maine Public could air an hour a week or day a of Amy Goodman's reporting. I listened to it on WERU and wish more of us who listen to NPR could hear honest and thorough reporting NPR is also known for. Steve writes, I have the radio on 24/7. I only turn it down when I have the TV on, and that's often PBS. Mary says that she has many programs she loves, including Maine Calling, and As It Happens, and Hidden Brain, and Classical Stretch on TV. And there we go. Susan, does that well represent what you hear every day?
It absolutely does. It absolutely represents what I see every week on our audience services report. And I will say to Mary, make sure you tune in at 2 o'clock. We're going to air a special edition of Hidden Brain, and there's going to be a really good announcement happening today at 2. So don't miss it.
That does certainly provide different perspectives, as you put it, Jen, and off across the aisle. I would say, especially the first email you read about someone who described themselves as a former supporter, and thank you for your vehicle donation, but that NPR has become, I forgot the exact terminology, but clearly that he doesn't consider it an honest broker of news, and I think the word distort was used. I think that the news from NPR is a valuable service, and it has been on both sides of the aisle. People, lawmakers appreciate being on NPR because they have more time to make their case or to get out their thought, more than an 8-second soundbite. And a program like yours, Jen, is so valuable for able to have real discussion. I often question people who, when they say that NPR is, quote, liberal or whatever else word you want to use, I ask them if they believe that is their personal experience or because someone has told them that. Because often people who have that view, frankly, are not listening, and they're just used to thinking of NPR that way, and because they have been told that by other news outlets. So I do maintain that we, at the local level of Maine Public and at the national level of the PBS NewsHour and NPR News, are committed to fact-based journalism. I encourage people to listen broadly to see if you are really experiencing what you think is a distortion, or if there's a little bit of preconceived notion in there.
Go ahead. And I also think it's worth saying that while NPR is, one of our primary partners in what we offer on Maine Public Radio, we also offer perspectives from the BBC, from the CBC in Canada, as well as news programs from other stations and organizations across the country. Like, I think about The World from PRX, Here and Now is actually originated out of GBH in Boston. So not everything we air comes from NPR. That's often who we are closely identified with because of Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But there are broader perspectives that we are offering to our main audiences each and every day.
And Jen, you mentioned local earlier, but we really want to do the things that are distinctive for Maine Public. And of course, in our 2 o'clock hour, we hear so many partners from around the state speaking in Maine. We work with the Camden Conference and other organizations. But we certainly respect the opinions that you just heard in those emails.
An email here from Greg, pretty specific one. I hope you have the answer for this one of you too. CPB handled the complicated business of reporting and paying for music played on Maine Public. How will that be handled now? You're both nodding. This is an issue. Susan?
Yeah. So I've actually been serving on a national working group on the NPR side about this. And we just recently got the information that CPB negotiated the contracts for the entire public radio and public television system with ASCAP, BMI, and I think it's in total five agencies that we license music rights through. And it used to be that CPB would just, they'd negotiate it, but they'd also just pay the bill, which was pretty cool. So that was kind of not even included in the money that we would directly receive from the CPB, because that was just a check that was sent on our behalf and behalf of everybody else.
So Susan, you're talking about music that might play in Maine Public Classical, something Rich Tozier might play for jazz.
It's not only those, but it is not only Maine Public Classical. Music rights have to do with music that appears in a television production or even around newscasts.
Okay, so in a television production, Sarah Willis. Okay, Susan, go ahead.
Yeah. So those contracts, the most current iterations, were largely negotiated through the end of 2027, but only paid for through the end of 2025. And so we were all trying to work very quickly to figure out what does this mean? Do we all need to suddenly individually figure out what we owe and send a check or what? But thankfully, as part of their wind down, CPB had some extra funds available from projects that hadn't been distributed. And so they were able to pay all of those music rights through the end of 27, through the end of the current contracts. And then NPR and PBS are working together to figure out how those contracts are negotiated and paid for beyond 2027. So thankfully, that was something we were able to kick down the road a little bit. But it is very much something that is top of mind, not just here in Maine, but across the country that we're working on. So,
all right, we're going to go to Richard in Sebago Lake. Richard, if you could be quick, that'd be great. We're coming near the end of the program.
Sure. Well, it's hard to be quick when there's so many wonderful things I have to say about Maine Public Radio. You know how much I enjoy your program. I try and call in whenever I feel I have something to say. I like the idea that you're neither left nor right, but common sense. And that really makes a lot of sense, and it's true. I started listening to Maine Public Radio back in the 70s. I had one of those little clock radios, and it was set to 90.1, and I had my alarm set to 6 a.m. because I loved listening to Robert J. Lertzamer come on, and he had birds singing to open his program every morning. What a great way to wake up that was. But I appreciate everything you guys do. I love your program. I listen to On Point regularly. Science Friday is one of my favorites. Hidden Brain, I could go on and on.
So, Richard, from one Richard to another, thank you so much for those thoughts. And I've only been at Maine Public for 4 years, but I can't tell you how many times I hear about that guy who used to start his show with bird calls in the morning. It was such a popular idea. People fondly remember that long before my time here. But thank you, Richard, for those thoughts.
Yeah, Richard, thank you so much for your kind words. And it will be the final words of this program because we're out of time. I apologize to everybody who was not able to get through, but we are a very transparent organization. You can send an email to Susan or Rick anytime. Thank you both for joining us. Rick Schneider, President and CEO. Susan Tran, Maine Public's Chief Programming Officer. Today's sound engineer, Sam Tracy. Special thanks to John Keimel and John Bradford. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn, and this is Maine Public Radio.
Maine Public, bringing you programs like Maine Calling. Maybe it's part of your daily schedule. It is mine because I work on it and I help oversee it. Hi, I'm Keith Shortall, senior editor here at Maine Public, and I also work closely with the Maine Calling team. And I'm here with my colleague, Nick Woodward,
Hello.
Who is our production manager here at Maine Public, wrapping up another really interesting hour. In this case, we heard from CEO Rick Schneider and programming manager Sue Tran about how we're doing, about our philosophy of news. And I only heard a reference as I was coming in quickly here for the break about Robert J. Lertzema,
yes,
which
Lertz.
Many people may, maybe some people listening might not remember, but when I started here, there was no Morning Edition. It started with the chirping of birds and then the long, very long pauses of Robert J. Lertzema, who was a staple of our morning programming. But it sort of points out the evolution of this, how this has become over the decades, offered so much and so varied, but has changed, but in essence has really stayed the same in the way, in terms of the philosophy of what we try to provide. 1-800-866-1475.
Well, but also that is part of our life. I mean, whether it was so many years ago or whether it was just minutes ago, Maine Public Radio is something that we depend on, something we value. It's where we get our information. It's where we get our inspiration. It's where we might get some music. It's where we get conversations. It's where we get so much. And whether it was 40, 50 years ago, or whether it was 40 seconds ago, those moments were made possible through member support. So we want to thank all of you who got us to this moment. We are now looking for you to take us into the future, where it's a healthy and vibrant future, as you heard from Rick and Susan. Maine Public Radio, we're in a great spot thanks to you. So let's keep that up. And that right there, Keith, that is a new member, somebody who has decided today is the day they join this family and help make the future bright. Call 1-800-866-1475.
Maybe you might join today for the first time, or if you're already a member, maybe you could increase your monthly donation. However you do it, you're showing support for the programming that you have come to depend on. We heard Rick in the course of this talk about fact-based journalism. And I think it's important to stress this now, particularly as, you know, you're on the internet and you see a video of an orca coming through the kitchen window and you can laugh and go, oh, that's great, AI. But there's a broad spectrum of content that might be much more subtle, that's manufactured, that isn't real, that is not based in fact. I'm not fear-mongering here, but we are in an era where trust is has much more meaning, I guess, much broader meaning than it has in the past. Maine Public is there to win and maintain your trust. That's what we've always done. 1-800-866-1475.
Or mainpublic.org. Two easy ways to join this family, to continue these conversations, to continue bringing you the news. Well, here and now coming up, it was a show we enjoy each and every day. And I think it was the other day, they had a story about credit card fees. Well, that's interesting because credit card fees do add up. For us, it's about $250,000 a year. That's why when you do become a member, consider joining with electronic funds transfer, is where the money is taken directly from a bank account, things like that. You know, it saves a few pennies, but pennies add up to something big, which could equal a lot of programming. And that's what these fund drives are all about. So call 1-800-866-1475. Go to mainpublic.org. Consider becoming an Evergreen friend. Consider donating to EFT. And you'll go into the rest of the, listening, knowing that you are helping to do something great.
$10 a month could be $35 a month, $60 a month. The amount is secondary to you making the commitment to support this thing that we do, this agreement, this Maine Public that we are. And this is your opportunity to show your support for the programming, for the people, and for the mission. 1-800-866-1475. You can also just go online to mainpublic.org.